Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was reading an online article recently that addressed the topic of our senses, and particularly the question of whether it was better to be deaf or blind. Not that you would want to have to choose such a thing. The conclusion was that for an adult, the issue is not really settled, and it might depend on the person's character and circumstances. Adults don't like to be dependent, and so being blind would have its difficulties there. But for a child, evidently, there's no question. It's better to be blind than deaf. Quoting a neuropsychologist, the article says, "Hearing is the primary channel through which we receive language. And all of those incoming words downloaded into our brains carry a wealth of emotional and cognitive apparatus that structures and empowers our imagination. Language is the mind's opposable thumb." Well, whether you resonate to that or not, we do know as certain and undeniable truth that language is the means God uses to create all things and to save us. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And the creation heard and obeyed. The Gospel of John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." St. Paul writes, "Faith comes by hearing, and how are they to hear without a preacher?" And not only did God arrange salvation through the hearing of his Word, but he also tells us that we are not to privilege our sight. The resurrected Lord said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." St. Paul writes, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And Scripture also says that faith is the conviction in things not seen. The New Testament includes several instances of Jesus healing blind men. But only in today's gospel do we hear of him healing a man who is deaf. Jesus was traveling through the region of the Decapolis, and people there brought him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They begged Jesus to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Jesus speaking to deaf ears made them hear. I was reading the Bible to one of my children last night, and in the middle of the passage, she asked me a question. Random question about cartoon characters. Obviously, her mind was on something else. I said, "We're hearing the Bible right now. God's Word. Why weren't you listening?" She said, "I was listening." I asked, "Okay, what was the passage we were just reading about?" She admitted she didn't know. This happens more often than not. And when this happens, sometimes one of my children will be able to repeat word for word the last sentence that I'd said or that I'd read from the Bible because it did enter their hearing, but it didn't enter their thinking. They're just parroting their auditory memory. So there are two aspects to hearing. There's the ability to physically hear the sounds and words. That ability the man in the gospel today lacked. And there's also the ability to take in what is heard and consider what it means. Now, Neither of these aspects of hearing is enough to save. Salvation comes when what is heard takes root in the heart by faith, and that is entirely, we confess, the work of the Holy Spirit. And we also admit that even people who cannot hear because they are deaf or cannot understand, such as infants and some who are mentally handicapped, we believe that the word works upon them, even without any evidence of this preliminary hearing. Because we know God can give them ears for that moment. But what we know from today's gospel is that when salvation happens, it is always because God is working miraculously to make a way for your faith. Consider this, a story from the Gospels I know you've all heard, but I don't know if you've thought of it this way. Once, when Jesus was in a boat with his disciples, he was sleeping. In the midst of a storm, he was sleeping. His disciples woke him, and he calmly got up. And Scripture says he rebuked the storm, and there was a great calm. And the disciples marveled that even the winds and sea obey him. Now that's, of course, the English translation. The English translation is obey, and that's spot on. But it's from a Greek word that literally means to hear under. Hupakuo, to hear under. To hear is to obey. Jesus gives the sea the ability to hear him at the very moment he commands. And this should give us great confidence in our own hearing and speaking of the Word of God. It has its own power and authority that doesn't come from us and comes to us even in spite of us, because it is God's Word. Not ours. Now, it's apparent that many people today think that preparing people to hear the Word of God is more important than actually speaking it. This is not true. The Word of God is its own preparation. In one of my education courses this year, I studied the use of games for teaching and learning. The idea was that the use of games motivates students to learn what you are teaching. Right? And that's video games recently, but for a long time, games have been mixed in with learning. Now, while this is true, that it does motivate to learn, there's a sort of hidden message that can come with that. The message, when you mix games with learning, is an implicit admission that the learning is not itself worth your attention. So the teacher hides the learning in the game. Kind of like mixing your peas in with your mashed potatoes to hide the taste. Now, I'm not saying that's always bad or anything like that. But then there's a really relevant question today in Christian worship, in Christian evangelism, in our own motivation to hear the Word of God. Do we need to hide God's Word in worldly dress, in worldly maxims and attire, before we can expect people to hear it? No. Christ says his sheep hear his voice and follow him. And his voice should not be hidden in the values and structures of the world. Someone once justified having a Christmas pageant to replace Sunday worship because it might attract people who would otherwise not come. And then they would hear the word. Sounds like a good thing. But what about this? If you have to hide the gospel in order to communicate it, haven't you hid its light under a bushel? All this to say, God's word is itself powerful. It justifies itself and it justifies those who hear it. But at the same time, do we not have our preparations? Do we not have our ways of preparing for worship? When we come together to worship, we do observe certain ceremonies that are, strictly speaking, unnecessary. We have our liturgy, which is our orderly way of delivering word and sacrament. Some say we should get rid of all that ceremony. Many churches have, in the name of pure preaching of the word. But in today's gospel, notice that Jesus doesn't only say to the man's ears and tongue, "Be opened." He puts his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touches his tongue. Now, obviously, that would violate today's COVID protocols. But what I want you to consider is that Jesus heals through a ceremony involving touch. He didn't have to heal this way. He chose to heal this way through touching the place of the man's ailments. And that touching is not a symbol. That's the means he used through his word to bring about that healing. Now, in the same way Jesus chose to take bread and wine and through them told us to observe this ceremony through which he offers us forgiveness, life, and the salvation that we need. Through this sacrament, he promises to keep our ears open and our hearts assured that we have everything and lack nothing good, because we have been reconciled to God through his death and life. Peter cut off an unbelieving soldier's ear. Jesus said no and healed it immediately. He needs that ear, just as we need ours. So let us thank God for our ears, that by them we keep our minds and our hearts turned to his gospel, trusting in his mercy and thankful for his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which passes our understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.